Here is the test to find whether your mission on Earth is finished. If you're alive, it isn't. Welcome, everyone. I'm McDaniel Phillips, and this is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. Our host is author, teacher, and itinerant speaker, Kenneth Wong. You know, I recall as a young man, the age I looked forward to being one day was 50. Of course, back then, 50 was considered old. But I reasoned that at the age of 50, I would have 25 years of work experience behind me, and through that experience, I could learn and I could mature, and then I would have 25 good years ahead of me to make a meaningful contribution with all of the wisdom I would have acquired. Well, I'm long past 50 now, but now I wonder whether my mission on Earth is finished. In just a moment, Kenneth reminds us through the life of Moses, who was 80 before he was ready, that we are never too old for God to use us.
Hello, everyone. It's wonderful to be with you once more as we continue with the second part of our series on Never Too Old. In this series of studies, we are looking at the lives of three great men of faith in the Old Testament who accomplished great things for God at relatively advanced ages, which most people would consign to retirement. In part one yesterday, we considered Abraham starting out at 75 by faith. In part two today, we are going to consider another great character in the Old Testament, Moses at 80 years of age. If we thought 75 was a good old age, 80 is quite a ripe old age. We are given a very interesting observation of Moses' character while he was leading Israel through the wilderness wanderings in Numbers chapter 12, verse 3. And this is given in parentheses or brackets, almost suggesting that this is something, that there is a hidden part to this side of his character. It says in Numbers 12, 3, "Now the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth." This is interesting because it has not always been so with Moses. He had by then been a deeply transformed and changed man. He was only so after God's dealings with him in his life. God must work in us before we can begin to work for him. Moses' life can be divided neatly into three equal periods of 40 years each. First, in Pharaoh's palace, where he grew up in the lap of luxury, with the best that the world can offer. Second, in the desert of Midian, where he married and raised a family, he settled as a shepherd. And third, in the wilderness of Paran and Zin, where he led the children of Israel and the generation X, EX for Exodus, out of Egypt, through the 40 years of wanderings in the wilderness. Moses was called out at the age of 80. His life was marked by two crises, at the 40-year mark and at the 80-year mark. The first was a retreating from Egypt. There was a crisis of circumstance at 40 years old. It was his personal exodus. And the second was returning to Egypt. That was a crisis of call at 80 years old, and it involved the people's exodus. That, in a nutshell, are the salient points of Moses' eventful life. While Abraham started out at 75, Moses was called out at 80. In this study, we are going to look at three aspects related to Moses' call. First, renouncing the world. Second, retreating from the world. And third, rising above the world. To understand the significance of Moses' renunciation of the world, we have to understand that he had a very privileged and royal upbringing by Pharaoh's daughter in Pharaoh's palace. The details of Moses' birth and his amazing rescue from the threat of Pharaoh to kill all the newborn Hebrew sons is given in Exodus chapter 1. The poignant point of the story is to see God's sovereign hand in arranging not only the sparing of Moses' life, but also the great irony of the adoption of baby Moses by the daughter of Pharaoh to be raised as her own son. This is not a fable, but a true and historical account. I would like to begin not from the Old Testament book of Exodus, but from the New Testament book of Acts. In Acts chapter 7, when the first Christian martyr, Stephen, was giving his testimony before the Jewish council, this is what he said concerning Moses when he came to that point in tracing God's salvation history. Acts chapter 7, verse 20. At this time, Moses was born and was well pleasing to God, for he was brought up in his father's house for 3 months. But when he was set out, Pharaoh's daughter took him away and brought him up as her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and deeds. Now when he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended and avenged him who was oppressed and struck down the Egyptian. For he supposed that his brethren would have understood that God would deliver them, but they did not understand. And the next day he appeared to two of them as they were fighting and tried to reconcile them, saying, "Men, you are brethren. Why do you wrong one another?" But he who did his neighbor wrong pushed him away, saying, "Who made you a ruler and a judge over us? Do you want to kill me as you did the Egyptian yesterday?" Then at this saying, Moses fled and became a dweller in the land of Midian, where he had 2 sons. That's a concise account of the first part of Moses' life through the lips of Stephen, the first martyr. But we get an idea of what Moses had to leave behind when he fled from his life, from Egypt to Midian. In verse 22, we have read that Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. He had an excellent education and a privileged upbringing at the pinnacle of the world empire of his time. And again, in Hebrews chapter 11, we find him appearing as one of the key characters in the great hall of faith, or the Faith Academy. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23, "By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward." So here we find Moses making a choice and taking a stand by identifying with God's people. His eyes were open to see the delusion and the deception of the world's attractions as represented by Egypt. He did not mind but preferred to suffer and share in the reproach of Christ by identifying with his people rather than continue to enjoy the treasures and the pleasures of this world. Let us now go to Exodus chapter 2, where we have the original narrative of what actually happened that led him to this crisis in his life. There were 2 incidents which happened on consecutive days in which Moses faced oppression and rejection by his own people. Exodus chapter 2, verse 11 to 14. "Now it came to pass in those days, when Moses was grown, that he went out to his brethren and looked at their burdens. And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. So he looked this way and that way, and when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, 2 Hebrew men were fighting, and he said to the one who did the wrong, 'Why are you striking your companion?' Then he said, 'Who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you intend to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?' So Moses feared and said, 'Surely this thing is known.'" Moses had noble and good intentions, but they were misconstrued and they backfired. Sometimes the sense of the heroic is not enough to work the works of God. The spirit may be willing, but the flesh is weak. He learned the hard way that he was powerless to effect what he thought was good and right. Until that point in his life, he had always thought he could realize his own ideals. Instead, he was forced to flee. It requires an actual separation from the world, as exemplified by Egypt. before we can face up to some hard facts about ourselves and God can begin to work deeply in our lives. There had to be an exile in his life before he was qualified to lead an exodus for his own people. This world is very much under the influence and the dominion of the wicked one. So it's no surprise that we see, as a consequence of that, conflict in the spiritual realm from time to time. We have to see that we cannot influence or change the world if we are at home and in love with it. Abraham's nephew, Lot, was someone who had tasted the goodness of God, but persisted in enjoying the pleasures of the world. And he stood for one who was literally saved as through fire, in the words of the Apostle Paul. It was a tough and a hasty decision to make, but he was driven by the unexpected development of unfavorable circumstances which forced him to flee. That's the first aspect we see in the life of Moses at this stage, renouncing the world. That happened when he was at his prime, at the age of 40. Instead of being the prime of his life, he seemed to have gone into a plateau. Instead of hitting the peak of his success in life, Moses retreated into obscurity. And this is the next stage that we want to look at. Retreating from the world. And that happened in the middle 40-year period of his life, between the ages of 40 and 80, in the deserts of Midian. This period was sandwiched between the crises of his personal exile and the people's exodus at the end. It occupied the middle third of his life. It was characterized by seclusion, by obscurity, and he led a quiet life in the back of the desert. They were the hidden years of his life, away from the glare of publicity and the pride and pomp of palace life. If he had a midlife crisis, that was an understatement. If you're looking for an example of a midlife crisis, you can't find a bigger one than that of Moses. Imagine going from the peak of power and prosperity to self-imposed exile in obscurity, all in the space of a single day, at the prime time of 40 years of age. If there is such a thing as a midlife crisis, this was it. Reading on from Exodus 2:15, when Pharaoh heard of this matter, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian. And in Stephen's account in Acts chapter 7, where we have been reading from earlier, all that we have devoted to this stage of his life is in one single verse, in verse 29. Then at this saying, Moses fled and became a dweller in the land of Midian, where he had two sons. Imagine 40 years of your life passing, and all that you can say about it is that you had two sons. But after the crisis, his life was characterized by contentment. Back in Exodus chapter 2, we read that as he sat down by a well, he met the daughters of the priest of Midian who came to draw water, and he helped them to water their flock. And this is what we read concerning Moses in this period of his life. Exodus 2:21. Then Moses was content to live with the man, and he gave Zipporah, his daughter, to Moses. And she bore him a son. He called his name Gershom, for he said, I have been a stranger in a foreign land. So Moses married and settled down in family life and became a shepherd tending the sheep. It was a quiet and contented life, though it must have seemed somewhat bland and very boring at times to a man who had been brought up under the sophisticated lifestyle and culture of the Egyptian palace. Life seemed to have reached a plateau with nothing much else to look forward to. He must have often encountered days when he wondered if this is all there is to the rest of his life. But God had greater plans, and he was not through with Moses yet. The years he waited there were not wasted. There is a wonderful way in which God works through the waste and the wilderness experiences of life. He does this to wean us from the world and to draw us closer to him. This is a time and a place where all worldly attractions and distractions are removed. He needs to bring us to a place where we are shut up and set apart to God alone. This was an extended experience for Moses of being equipped by God through being still and just knowing that he is God out there in the great expanse and solitude of the deserts. It took the world out of him through what is really now the work of the cross. In Galatians chapter 6 verse 14, it describes this twofold work of the cross with respect to the world in our lives as follows. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. This is exactly the same as what Wesley wrote in his great hymn, "Dead to the world and all its toys, its idle pomp and fading joys." So Moses found himself changed from dwelling in the palace to dwelling in a nomadic tent. And unknown to him, this was to be his training for the next 40 years, for the mission ahead in which he was to lead his people out of Egypt. And like Abraham, he had to learn how to live the lifestyle of a stranger and a sojourner rather than that of a settler. That was a huge culture shock for Moses. And his son Gershom was aptly named because it literally means a stranger there. He learned to be comfortable with living the life of a stranger in a foreign place, so that this world is not his home anymore. The third aspect or stage in the life of Moses that we would like to examine may be called rising above the world. At the end of this 40-year period, between the ages of 40 and 80, he was now equipped and ready to return to the world, but no longer as being off the world, although he was going to be in the world. He had learned to overcome the world so that he in turn could lead others out of Egypt, which was a type of the world. Stephen's testimony account resumes in chapter 7 of Acts, verse 30. And when 40 years had passed, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire in a bush in the wilderness of Mount Sinai. This is the account of the call of Moses at the age of 80, when God appeared to him in a flame of fire in the burning bush. Verse 34, "I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their groaning and have come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send you to Egypt. This Moses, whom they rejected, saying, 'Who made you a ruler and a judge?' is the one God sent to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel who appeared to him in the bush." So we find Moses recalled from retirement, as it were, for God's bigger mission, and toggling back into our great faith chapter in Hebrews 11, where there is no mention at all of these hidden middle 40 years of his life, nor of the call of Moses by the burning bush in the desert. It resumes in verse 27 with Moses leading the people of Israel out of Egypt. Hebrews 11:27. "By faith, Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible." This sounds more like the second time he forsook Egypt, for the last time as he led the people of Israel out from the bondage under Pharaoh in Egypt. It was most unlike his first personal exile from Egypt, when he fled in great fear for his own life. Now we find him confronting Pharaoh with divine courage and authority, after God had worked deeply in his life during those silent and hidden 40 years in the deserts of Midian. Such courage and authority is not inconsistent with the great humility and meekness that he showed, just as in the life of the Lord Jesus. True fear of God frees us from the fear of man. Perfect love casts out fear, it says in 1 John 4:18. This time he was no longer just beating a hasty retreat, reacting impulsively, but instead he was able to endure with the eternal in view. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He was led by God rather than running away from Pharaoh. But that was only the beginning, with many more things to overcome as he led the people of Israel through 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. But it was with this same faith and authority that he was able to later command the people not to fear, but to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, when they seemed hemmed in by Pharaoh's approaching armies behind them and the Red Sea before them. Exodus 14 verse 13. And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever." And with this same faith, courage, and humility, he was able to lead and guide God's people through the wilderness under God's hand by means of a pillar of cloud in the day and of fire by night. Exodus chapter 13, verses 21 and 22. "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people." And this is typical of what the Holy Spirit is to believers as the people of God today. So when Moses was called out at the age of 80, we truly see him rising above the world. And this is best summed up in the opening note of the Song of Moses in Exodus chapter 15, verse 1, which celebrates God's deliverance and victory for his people over Egypt. Exodus 15:1, "Then Moses and the children of Israel sang the song to the Lord and spoke, saying, 'I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously.'" And may God continue to refresh you by his presence and reach you by his word.
There is a wonderful way in which God works through the waste and wilderness experiences of life to draw us closer to him. Thank you for that good word, Kenneth. This is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. And please join us again tomorrow for part 3 of Never Too Old. Right now, though, we would love to hear from you, and I have several ways through which you can be in contact. You can send us a text message at 9431-3813, or you can write to us at Post Office Box 392, Thompson Road Post Office, Singapore 915-714. You can go to our Facebook page and leave your comments there or share some views with some of the other folks you see. Also, I invite you to visit our website, www.timesofrefreshing.asia, where you can listen to the program right online. And Times of Refreshing has launched an iPhone app that allows users to directly access the broadcast messages and the podcasts right from their iPhones. I'm McDaniel Phillips, inviting you to join us again for Times of Refreshing.